Welcome to Your Badass Brain, the podcast that uses coaching, psychology, and simple neuroscience to arm you with the knowledge and tools to get from where you are now to where you really want to be. And here's your host, professional certified coach, April Oswald, to help you get the most from your badass brain.
Hey there, everybody. How are y'all doing? I'm recording this on Super Bowl Sunday, and I love Super Bowl Sunday. Even when my team, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers, isn't in the game. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, huge football town, and so there was just always a lot of anticipation and excitement around the Super Bowl. But the fact that it's Super Bowl Sunday also reminds me that January has come and gone already. And unfortunately, I wasn't as productive as I had planned to be this past month, especially when it comes to this podcast. It's been over 3 weeks since I released the new episode, and I had intended never to go more than 10 days or maybe 2 weeks between episodes. But truth be told, it's been a little bit of a struggle lately, and so I've been procrastinating, and I've been beating myself up about it and just feeling overwhelmed and anxious. And this is what I want to talk about today. About how beating ourselves up does not motivate us to achieve our goals, and it does not motivate us to create the changes that we want in our lives. And that just because something is challenging does not mean that we have to experience stress and anxiety in accomplishing it. And in complete transparency, doing this podcast has been a challenge for me from the start. I mean, I didn't expect it to be easy because I had never done anything like this before. But I underestimated the mental drama that it was going to cause me. And yes, I'm a coach with a focus on mind management, but that doesn't mean that I don't regularly experience my own mental drama. It just means that I have tools to effectively work with it and to manage it so that it doesn't create prolonged negative emotion and so it doesn't keep me from creating the results that I want in my life. And I really want to do this podcast. I have so much information to share that I know is going to help so many people. And this forum allows me to get that information out to more people than strictly coaching. And I love talking about all of the concepts, all of the psychology and the neuroscience. I can talk for hours about what causes us to do the things we do and why we feel the way we feel. But when I went to put it into podcast form, to distill it down into 20, 30-minute segments, my brain went a little crazy, telling me that I sound ridiculous, that nobody wants to listen to me, questioning every single thing that I wanted to say, telling me that I wasn't getting it right, that I better erase it all and just start again. And with all of this internal chatter going on, sitting down to prepare it and record it has become stressful. And so I've been avoiding it. And then when I wouldn't work on it, my brain would tell me that I should be, that I better get to work, that I was just being lazy and that I should have finished it already, that it shouldn't be this hard, and that maybe I was fooling myself thinking I could actually stick with this. The whole process became such a struggle. Here I had set this goal that I was super excited about, and my base brain took that goal and was using it against me to make me miserable. Do you guys relate to this at all? Do you ever decide that you really want something new in your life? You really want to create new results. And at first, you get really excited about them and you feel motivated to make them happen, only to find that they end up becoming a source of stress and anxiety and emotional misery. Like, for example, maybe you want to start speaking up more at work because you want more recognition and you know that there are things that you can contribute. And maybe when you go into that next meeting, you're all pumped up to share your ideas. And you know it might be a bit uncomfortable, but you're going to do it. But then you get in there and you fall into your usual pattern of not saying anything, of having something you want to share, but keeping it to yourself. And then afterwards, you beat yourself up about that. You think, I'm such a wimp. What is wrong with me? Everybody else can do this. Why can't I? And then the next time you have a meeting, you start telling yourself, I better speak up this time. I am going to be so angry with myself if I don't. And then once again, you keep quiet, and the whole cycle starts over. So eventually you just start to believe that you are incapable and that taking the actions required to achieve that goal, whatever it is, are just too hard. Or for another example, I worked with a client that really wanted to cut back on her drinking. She had a lot of client dinners for work, and she was regularly drinking at least 3 glasses of wine. And it was keeping her from feeling energetic and alert in the mornings, and it was also working against her weight loss goals. So she decided that she's going to just start having 1 glass of wine, and that when the waiter offered her a second one, she would just say, no, thank you. And she felt really good about her goal. She knew what a positive difference it could make in her life. And so she was heading into her next dinner, and she was motivated to start behaving differently and stop drinking after that first glass. But once she got there and the waiter offered her that second glass, she found herself accepting it and drinking it. And then she was disappointed in herself. And she said she really didn't even fully enjoy the rest of the dinner because her brain immediately started beating her up and creating guilt because she had that second glass of wine. And so she figured, hey, if I already failed at what I said I was going to do, I might as well have a third glass. And then the next day, she was angry with herself and told her things like, you better not do that again next time. You better start to control yourself. Why can't you just do what you say you'll do? You have no willpower. And as I'm sure you can imagine, that didn't leave her feeling very good about herself going into her next dinner. Just like the thoughts in the example about speaking up, this client's thoughts created a lot of negative emotion, stress, and anxiety around her goal. And negative emotions do not drive positive actions. They do not motivate us to change our behavior. When we get in this negative thought spiral, we're not going to start doing new things. And then eventually, we just start to believe that those actions are too hard and that we just can't do it. But I want to offer that rarely are the actions themselves difficult. If you're able to talk, then you're more than capable of speaking words at a meeting. And saying no thank you isn't really hard. It's 3 words. And in truth, it's usually not these actions that we're avoiding when we don't do the things we say we'll do. What we're really avoiding are the emotions that accompany the actions. So in the case of speaking up at work, we might be avoiding the potential embarrassment if we speak up and people don't respond how we want them to. Or in the drinking example, we're avoiding the potential feeling of deprivation when we don't have that second glass of wine, or the anxiety that we may feel of having to socialize without that additional bit of liquid courage. Emotions are always the reason that we do or don't do anything. And when we are unwilling to feel certain emotions, when we are afraid of certain emotions, then we avoid taking any actions that may potentially lead us to feeling them. For me, the emotions I was feeling when I would sit down to work on the podcast, like the uncertainty and the self-doubt, the vulnerability, that is what kept me from wanting to work on it. But here's the thing. Our actions are not what cause our emotions. All of our emotions are caused by our thoughts and only our thoughts. And the thoughts that we think about ourselves can be pretty emotionally punishing. I call it a base brain beatdown, where your brain throws thoughts at you like punches and you allow it. And if this is the first episode of mine that you're listening to, when I say base brain, I mean the part of our brain that we use when we just live on autopilot, the part that produces 60,000 thoughts a day, which are simply just output from the default brain programming that continuously runs. It's the part that we operate from when we're not thinking on purpose, when we're not deliberately and strategically choosing our thoughts. And the thoughts that accompany a base brain beatdown are painful. And yet we simply believe them as if they're the truth, even though they cause us a lot of suffering and they hold us back from creating and living our best lives. And they can be relentless. In the example of speaking up at work, your brain will tell you that, hey, you don't speak up enough. You really better start speaking up more. It'll make you think that how you are behaving now isn't good enough, that you're not good enough. But then when you have the opportunity to speak and you have something to say, it'll tell you that, hey, you better not speak up. You're putting yourself at risk. People might think badly of you or completely ignore you. It intimidates you into keeping quiet. And then when you do keep quiet, it beats you up for being such a wimp. Doesn't sound very fun, does it? It's no wonder it becomes so difficult to create the change we want and to accomplish the goals that we set for ourselves. The base brain beatdown keeps us stuck. And in fact, it's purposely designed to do this because it doesn't want us to change. Changing our behavior, taking new actions, and showing up in new ways in the world requires that our brains do some redesigning of our neural connections, that they strengthen or build new neural pathways that will drive the new actions, and that they weaken or get rid of the existing neural pathways that have been driving our current actions. And there are two reasons that your base brain does not want this. First of all, because we're alive today, our base brain feels secure in the way that it is wired now. It doesn't care if we are happy. It doesn't care if we're fulfilled and living our best lives. It only cares that we are alive. And because its current wiring is keeping us alive, it's resistant to any type of change. It sees any type of change as being a potential threat, even when that change might be very small and clearly does not put us in danger. And the other reason is that the base brain, just like it's responsible for our unconscious and automatic thinking, it's also responsible for all of the other automatic activities that we engage in every single day. Breathing, chewing and swallowing, sleeping and waking, seeing, hearing, tasting. It's busy. And all of these activities that it's responsible for require a ton of metabolic energy. And so the base brain is always trying to conserve energy when it can. It doesn't want to use unnecessary energy, or what it thinks is unnecessary energy, to create new neural pathways when it believes that the ones you have are working just fine, especially when those neural pathways have been in operation for a really long time. And so, because of this desire to keep us safe and to conserve energy, our base brains resist change. And the beatdown is one way that they keep us from changing. And I'm sharing this so you know that it's normal, that to some extent, everybody experiences this dynamic. And understanding why it's happening can help you see it for what it is, simply the results of how our brains have evolved, coupled with things that we learned in our particular past that determined how our brains were neurologically wired to begin with. But your base brain is only one part of what makes up who you are. The more evolved part of you, your badass brain, the part that makes you human, is able to think and see and create far beyond the limitations imposed by the base brain. It isn't limited by any type of default programming. Your base brain is just an organ doing a job. Your badass brain is who you are deep down. Call it your soul, your free will, the self that you design. Your badass brain can imagine a future that is different than what your life is now, and it is excited by those possibilities, and it wants to make them happen. Not because your life isn't already enough, not because you aren't already enough, or because you don't already have everything you need to be happy, but simply because you can. Just because you get to choose the future that you want to create. Now, unfortunately, the growth and change and new experience that our badass brains desire are often in opposition to our base brains' desire to avoid the change and to keep us right where we are. And this is why setting goals can create inner turmoil. It can create an internal battle, which can trigger our base brains to fight. And they think they're fighting for our survival, so they can get pretty intense. And thus, the base brain beatdown. Your goal becomes a weapon that you use against yourself. You beat yourself up for not taking action, or for not doing it right, or not doing it fast enough. You tell yourself you'll likely never do it, while at the same time telling yourself that you won't be happy and satisfied unless you do. We desire new things in our lives because we want the positive emotions that we believe they will make us feel. But then in the journey to achieve them, we end up creating negative emotion, including tons of stress and anxiety. And then eventually we give up. We quit trying because we just want the stress to stop. It seems easier to let go of our goals and our dreams rather than to continue putting ourselves through the turmoil and the misery. We decide that it would be better to just accept the status quo and to let things continue the way they are. Now, unfortunately, when we do this, the desire for change doesn't go away. It just gets buried inside of us. And then we go around with this low level of dissatisfaction and restlessness that comes from not growing and changing and creating the lives we truly desire. But listen, there is never any reason to give up on a goal unless you no longer want to achieve that goal, unless you no longer want to make that change in your life. Before you stop trying, try stopping the base brain beatdown. Decide that in pursuit of your goal, you are no longer going to listen to all of those unnecessary thoughts. See that they are not working for you and they feel terrible. They truly serve no purpose. Your brain is lying to you when it says that you have to change or that you have to take action before you can be happy. Its threats that you better do something, that you better fix your life or fix yourself, all lies. Don't believe it. And stop believing it when it tells you that how you are doing it is wrong or that you aren't getting to your goals or that you aren't getting there fast enough. When you feel stress or anxiety about a goal, recognize it for what it is. Your base brain doing its job. I'd even encourage you to go ahead and let it have its say. Hear what it has to say and allow yourself to experience the emotion that those thoughts create so that you can see that it is those thoughts that create the emotion. And then imagine, what would it be like if you didn't believe those thoughts? If you could just recognize them as neurological noise coming from an organ in your body, and nothing more. What would it be like to believe that you are doing it right? That there truly is nothing wrong with you or your life now? That you don't have to change anything to be good enough or to be happy, but that you get to make whatever changes you want? And that at the end of the day, you are the only one you need to answer to in the pursuit of your goals. What would it be like if you always had your own back, no matter what? When I suggest this idea to people who have been struggling and pushing themselves to take actions but aren't making progress, they can be a bit reluctant to buy into it. They tell me that, you know, if I don't pressure myself, then I'm never going to take the required actions. They think that if they were nice to themselves, then they would just let themselves off the hook from doing anything difficult, rather than to deal with the discomfort that often accompanies changing our behaviors and taking new actions. And I totally get this. In a way, we think that the base brain beatdown motivates us, that without it, we would just be totally complacent and that we'd always just take the easy road. But this is another lie that our base brain tells us. Now listen, if you're somebody who thrives on the beatdown or who thinks you thrive on the beatdown, you think you love the pressure and the stress. Now, if you're successfully progressing toward your goals and you're satisfied with the dynamic and the energy around it, then by all means, keep going. I'm not suggesting that any way is right or wrong. Sometimes a low level of stress can compel us to take actions. But higher levels or constant low levels of stress, anxiety, and pressure will leave us feeling overwhelmed, exhausted, and burnout. And trying to create change and accomplish goals from this state is nearly impossible. Not to mention, it isn't a very healthy or enjoyable way to live. So if your goal has become a big source of stress and anxiety for you, then isn't it worth trying something different? Especially if the alternative is for you to just give up? I was talking with my coach about my struggle doing this podcast and how it was consuming so much of my mental energy, not the actual work, but all of the pressure and stress that I was putting on myself about it, and how I was constantly thinking that I should be working on it and that I should be releasing more episodes more quickly, and then feeling a lot of anxiety because I wasn't doing that. And I told her that, you know, maybe it's just not worth it. Maybe my podcast was always meant to end after 7 episodes. I had started it because I was excited about it. And what was the point of continuing to do it if it was only going to cause me this misery? And you know what she said to me? And I love this. She said, April, I don't think the project is the problem. I think it's the management style. And she was absolutely right. The way I was managing myself, the way that I was attempting to get the work done was completely ineffective. And I know better. I've managed various teams and various projects during my corporate career, and I never would have treated my employees the way that I was treating myself. I know that constant berating and pressure and criticism stifles creativity and productivity. I know that treating my team members that way is counterproductive, and that what works so much better is encouragement and trust and making the effort to understand what is going on with them when they aren't performing. And yet, this is not how I was managing myself. I was more like the boss, the mean boss that follows you around all day, looking over your shoulder, asking how much work you've done today. When's the project going to be done? Why is it taking so long? You know, the boss who makes snide remarks when you take a break or a day off, who criticizes your work and points out how much better everybody else does it. If someone tried to manage me like that, I certainly wouldn't respond very well. I would feel stifled and angry and full of resentment, and it probably wouldn't be long before I would quit. Or at a minimum, I would ask for a new manager. And yet this is how I was managing myself. And so I decided that instead of quitting, I would just get a new manager. I would fire my base brain when it comes to doing the podcast, and I would put my badass brain in charge. Never again would I allow the self-criticism or the emotional self-abuse. Never again would I believe that I am incapable of doing this or that I'm doing it somehow wrong. And when I find myself struggling and feeling resistant to working on it, I'll be compassionate with myself. I will take it as an opportunity to examine the thoughts that I'm thinking and to understand why my brain might be offering them to me. And I will remind myself that I never have to believe anything that makes me feel bad about myself. And guess what? This new manager has been so much more effective. The stress and the anxiety has just started to melt away. My creativity has come back to life, and I feel a weight lifted. And my desire to work on the podcast and my excitement about doing it have been revived. And it's a good thing because now you're able to listen to this episode. And that doesn't mean that it's easy. I still feel some of the uncertainty and the vulnerability and the self-doubt. And yes, they are uncomfortable emotions to feel. But without the added pressure, stress, and anxiety of the beatdown, I have the mental capacity to handle those emotions. I have the energy and the strength to allow the normal emotional discomfort that accompanies change and that accompanies the creation of new results in our lives. Achieving our goals is not supposed to be easy. It requires growth, and growth is not supposed to be easy. It can require that we overcome some fear, self-doubt, rejection, failure, frustration, and a whole host of other emotions. But it is so worth it. And as I talked about in episodes 3 and 4 of this podcast, you can learn to allow these types of emotions when you become aware of what is causing them and you practice feeling them. But you need the mental capacity to do this. And when you are constantly pressuring and beating yourself up, you'll just be too exhausted. When you start being kinder to yourself, when you start encouraging yourself and understanding yourself and having your own back, you will be amazed by the progress that you can start to make. So start being on alert for how you're managing yourself when it comes to your goals and to the changes that you want in your life. Be aware of the thoughts that you are thinking and on the demands and criticisms that you are putting on yourself. Recognize the negative emotions that those things create and how those negative emotions are not driving your desired actions. And then make the decision to stop. Refuse to allow the beatdown. Get in badass brain mode, and every time that base brain starts throwing those punches, just walk away. Let it wear itself out until it sees that the beatdown is useless, until it realizes that the energy it is expending is wasted, and use that energy to create all the results that you desire. And I would love to hear about your experiences with trying out this new management style. So please email me at info@yourbadassbrain.com to share any ways that this or any other episode of the podcast have made a difference for you. And also visit my website, yourbadassbrain.com, where you can sign up for my free monthly self-coaching worksheets, or you can express your interest in working with me or in being a part of one of the existing or future coaching groups that I'll be facilitating. And finally, please, if you haven't already, rate this podcast on iTunes. It'll be a huge help. And until next time, keep using your badass brain. Bye for now.